Well, today we're going to focus on Revelation chapter 5, but we're first going to look at some background. So we ended last week with chapter 3, and chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation are directed towards the churches. And so if you read chapters 2 and 3, you hear all these words both of encouragement to the churches and also words of judgment for the ways that the churches aren't acting faithfully, aren't living faithfully. And one of my teachers on Revelation asked, what if you stay there? What if you stay just looking at, focused on what's wrong with you, what's wrong with the church, what's wrong in the world? What happens to us? We kind of get stuck if we just keep focusing there. This past week, someone in Bible study put it well. If we get stuck just worrying about ourselves, we can't do mission. So Revelation doesn't stay there focused just on the churches. But in chapters 4 and 5, we are brought into the presence of God. We are brought into focusing on God and praising God, and that's what we're going to get to hear today. As I mentioned in children's time, we ended last week with a door to a church shut to Jesus' work. But then we hear in the chapter 4, the door to God is wide open. So though human beings may shut the door on Jesus' work among them, the door to our gracious God is always open to us. So as we get into our reading today, we're going to see God in the throne room, seated on the throne. We'll hear about some elders around God, praising God. And then we're going to hear about four creatures. And these come up in chapter 4. They represent all creatures on earth and human beings praising our God. So we'll just read the beginning of this passage. From Revelation chapter 5, John writes, "Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne, a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" And if we pause there, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. Yeah, we as Christians look back on that passage like one we read today, and we see Jesus as this one who comes of the line of David. And so Jesus is this only one who's worthy and able to open the seals of the scroll. Now, some scholars have said that that scroll represents the will of God. Others have said that scroll represents the divine plan for God's judgment and God's salvation. And no one in heaven or on earth is able to figure out that will of God except Jesus Christ. So once again, if we want to know the will of God, God's plan for judgment and salvation, we need look no further than our Lord Jesus Christ, what we hear about him in Scripture, and seeking to follow him. Now we read that there's this promise that Jesus will come like a lion, but what John sees is very different. So let's read further. Verse 6, "Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, not a lion, but a lamb, standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits or archangels of God, sent out into all the earth. The lamb went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Like our prayers are joined up there in heaven. "They sing a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice. And we sang some of these words this morning with our hymn of praise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing. To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord. So as I mentioned, John hears this promise of a lion coming from the tribe of Judah. And going way back to our scriptures of old, there's these promises that a ruler will come out of the tribe of Judah from the line of King David, whose kingdom will have no end. And typically, these rulers who come, if you read about the kings of old, they are militant leaders. They conquer through military might and force. But this one is going to come in a completely different way than what was expected. Instead of appearing like a fierce and overpowering lion, when John looks, he sees this lamb standing as if he'd been slaughtered. So John hears God's promises being fulfilled, but how God's going to fulfill those promises is going to be different than what people expected. So instead, we see the lamb along with God on the throne, and thousands upon thousands joined together praising our God. One scholar noted that what we see here in Revelation is the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Now, when you hear that word apocalypse, is that normally the image you picture? What images do we normally think of when we hear of apocalypse? End times, destruction, like pretty like warring images, bad images. But if we go back to the beginning of Revelation, it reads the very first sentence, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word revelation comes from a word in Greek. It's translated from the Greek word apokalypsis. So it's the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, or the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this really is the center vision of Revelation. The image that keeps coming up in Revelation again and again, the one we keep cycling back to, is this image of Jesus as the Lamb and all creation worshiping him. Jesus as the Lamb is mentioned 28 times throughout the book of Revelation. And yet we keep hearing all these other apocalyptic visions about Revelation, these words of destruction. And there's some of that there, but this is what the book is about. We also read about the Lamb redeeming people from every tribe and language and people and nation, and making all those people to be one kingdom, serving our God. That vision, in a lot of ways, flies in the face of what we see happening in our world today. Instead, we see nation against nation, and you can think of all the ones we keep hearing in the news. Civil wars in countries that are already hurting, and as violence comes and people are launched into deeper hunger and need. Or if we look at our own lives, we are all too well aware of divisions happening in our own families or friendships that have been broken. And yet in this vision here, God invites us into his heavenly throne room to see a different hope. The Lamb redeeming people and bringing together people from all walks of life, from all backgrounds, despite all divisions, to form them into being one people serving our God. That's the heavenly vision we get in Revelation. And if that's God's vision there, that's also how God longs for us to live right here. Every single Sunday, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And one of the key things we pray in that prayer is, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And what is it? On earth as it is in heaven. And when we pray that, in a sense, we're praying for this vision of all people gathered together praising our God. We're praying that that would happen in us, that unity and that praise for God. Now, in a sense, this is being lived out in our world in some ways. It's just hard to see. I remember going to a small church conference several years ago, and this person talked about how small churches are everywhere across the world. And there's even in some of the most remote villages that can only be reached in some of the countries of Africa. He pointed out that Coca-Cola is found in all these places in Africa. They had this huge campaign to get Coca-Cola into the countries in Africa. So you will find this cold drink in places you would not expect. But he pointed out that the church has gone even further, that the church is even found in places that Coca-Cola can't be found, even in places it can only get to by walking. So there are churches in those places that are worshiping on this day and praising our God right along with us across the whole world. We saw in this vision God's people in heaven praising God. And when we hear that, we also heard about that bowl of the saints' prayers. I don't think that there's literally a bowl of our prayers sitting up in heaven, but it reminds us that when we pray, or when we worship together like we are today, we are joined with the worship that's happening in heaven. We are joined together in that. And so this passage in Revelation is meant to bring us into praise for God. And I love that, but I also struggle with it sometimes, because we all get drawn into looking at what's happening in the world or our lives, and so often it's so sad or so troubling. And one person in Bible study this past week pointed out, we do need to be aware of what's happening in the world. It's just sometimes we get so focused on that or what's wrong in our lives, we forget to also focus on God, who is with us in the midst of it. So as we look at this vision of the throne room of God seated on the throne and all creation praising God, we're reminded that whatever seems to have power in our lives, think about right now, what seems to have power over you in your life? Whatever it is, whether it's rulers on earth or addiction or despair or depression or grief or feeling like our lives aren't turning out how we thought they'd hoped, whatever seems to have that power right now, this vision reminds us that's temporary, that we are going to reach this vision of our promised future, of all creation joining with us, praising our God and Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Now, one detail we heard today is that Jesus has conquered. There are two ways to conquer, according to the book of Revelation. One way is the way we normally think of conquering, through military might, by overpowering and oppressing. Or we can conquer like Jesus Christ, conquer through faithfulness. And that's the way that Revelation encourages us to conquer, by faithfulness to our God. If we look at Jesus' faithfulness was to take on the injustice of the world, carry it to the cross, and as one who's innocent, he died at the hands of those who were guilty. He did that and revealed how messed up this world is, and also how messed up we as human beings can be. And when we look at Jesus on the cross, what we see is that God will stand with us even in the midst of all the mess. In the midst of all the mess and yuck, there is our God, crucified yet risen, standing with us and all those who are hurting. And we eventually are headed into this vision at the end of all things, where all creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth are praising our God together. In Bible study this past week, I suggested that we pay attention to what are some ways that we praise God, maybe even keep a praise journal. What are some ways that you find yourself praising God this week? Or when do you hear other people praising God? And to kind of pay attention to that and keep track of it. Because we go along with life so focused on just what we're doing, or what's wrong with us, or the world, or the church. We forget to look for what is God doing each and every day. And yet God always keeps that door to God's grace open to us, to God's forgiveness, and God's way, which is a way of life. We are all covered in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ each and every day. May we go to live that grace and that mercy and that praise even more in this new week ahead. Amen.